welcome to Impact Live Wire, your monthly podcast where we get to know various members of our communities, emerging leaders, innovative thinkers, and other exciting people that support Amatic's mission and have an impact on our lives. I'm your host, Evan Evans. Today we'll be interviewing Rachel Sadie, the chair of the Data Science Subcommittee. All right, Rachel, thank you for joining LiveWire here. We know you're a member of the data science. What are you guys focusing on right now?
There are two different data science communities. So there's Amatic, and then there's whatever other communities I'm involved in. Within Amatic, we are getting ready for the July Impact Live, where we're focusing on student success. We are actively preparing for all the materials that we want to present and share with the community and have those conversations. We just finished in April a pilot of the Data Fest for two-year colleges, and that was our first time ever. We had four schools participate, and it was incredibly exciting because we had so much excitement and we had a lot of great feedback from the judges. So our hope is that we continue with this so that the Data Fest that's typically run for four-year schools is now also going to be available on a more competitive level for two-year schools. So we're very excited about that. In the data science community itself, I would say a lot of the push is to try to get more schools involved in data science, whether that be creating data science programs, having data science courses, trying to give professional development for faculty who are interested in getting involved. One of the conversations that we have a lot is that a lot of faculty who've been in math and statistics really want to get into data science, but in some ways they feel like they've missed the boat. The coding classes didn't exist when they took their math and statistics courses for their discipline. And the fact that they missed the boat is not the case. And we want to give those opportunities. So that's one of the things we're focusing on, is helping other people who are interested but don't know how to get involved, find ways to get involved. And then of course, we're trying to help other schools figure out ways to develop these programs and learn about best practices for recruiting, retaining, figuring out how to encourage diverse populations of students to join data science. How do you deal with all of the math statistics requirements that are required for transfer, for employment, for all the different pathways that we as two-year schools are required to do? And because data science is emerging, it's evolving, it's growing at such a fast pace, it's hard to keep up, but also to try to make sure that we're doing the best for all the students. So there's a lot going on in the various communities, and I didn't even get to my own community, which is my own school's data science community.
Rachel, what is your vision for your community in the near future?
So because data science is growing all over the country in different ways, one of the things I'm really interested in is I would love to find out which schools, which two-year schools have data science programs, what kind of data science programs they are, and what schools are interested in creating these data science programs, because I think that that's a really important thing for us to all connect and give resources to each other, but also share those resources.
And what would be a good way for them to notify you or your community of whether their school has those data science programs or interested in creating them?
Well, they should contact me through the AMATIC Data Science Subcommittee, Montgomery College, which is a two-year college right outside of Washington, D.C. I'm in the Math, Statistics, and Data Science Department at Montgomery College.
Well, that's a great vision that you have for the community, and it sounds like you guys are really actively involved. What's one common myth about your communities that you want to debunk?
I would say one of the big myths is that coding is really hard. That's probably what I find. And I can debunk that because 75% of the students I teach, 75% of the students who are in our school's program already possess an undergraduate or graduate degree and have never coded before. They may even possess a degree in psychology, sociology, history. I even had a PhD in history take our data science certificate program. But you know what they all have in common is, for many of them, is they've never programmed and they're kind of pretty terrified going in, but they're so interested in data science that they're ready to start. And it's an incredibly steep learning curve, I would say, for the first couple of weeks. And then it starts to plateau. And I would say that's kind of, I would say, one of the biggest myths is that coding is doable pretty much for anyone, as long as you have a lot of handholding at the very start.
And what have been some of the best resources that either help you along the way or even your students along the way that you can share with us?
So I started just kind of happenstance when I was getting my statistics degree that some of the statistical computations in the courses were done in R. So I started in R, and there weren't that many resources out there, to be completely honest. We just kind of, you know, hope for the best. But there's the O'Reilly series, which are free open source PDFs. Hadley Wickham's R for Data Science. There are those same resources under the O'Reilly series for Python, for SQL. YouTube is great. There's Coursera courses that a lot of people go through, Udemy. All of those have a lot of pluses and minuses. And I know, for example, I just spoke to a student yesterday she's an early college student in computer science, has heard that she really needs to figure out an additional track in statistics or data science and wanted my advice. And she said she was on a Udemy course with Python. I think that's a great way to dip your toes in. I don't think it's a great way to fully immerse yourself in data science to understand things. I think you need a human at some point to help teach you. But I think for most people, starting with some sort of MOOC or some sort of course that's online is a great place to start to see if you're even interested in it.
And I know you're actively involved with Amatic, but why did you initially get involved with Amatic?
Amatic has been in my existence. I started as an adjunct teaching at Montgomery College 21 years ago, and it's kind of amazing to think that. But Amatic has always been around, and I've attended conferences and things like that. But it was kind of off. It wasn't really a part of my awareness, especially when I was an adjunct. And I regret that. I very much regret that, because once I became an active member, I found Amatic to be such an amazing community of incredibly thoughtful folks in all of the different communities and ANETs and things like that. And so I had an opportunity a year ago to work with a group of people who were panelists for a data science workshop for StatPrep. And through that, I met a bunch of incredibly thoughtful, exciting people who asked me if I would like to be a chair. And I thought I was very flattered. And so now I am the chair of the data science committee. And I am so grateful for having kind of followed in this path, because I had been a part of American Statistical Association, the Academic Data Science Alliance community, Mathematics Association of America. I had been very involved in those. And I don't know, I guess when you're involved in so many other communities, you kind of have to shift one way or the other. But Amatic, I have to say, hands down, is an incredible organization that I'm really grateful to be a part of.
And you mentioned a lot of people along the way. And who has been your biggest supporter, mentor, or role model over the course of your career?
So I would say there are people who I watched, there are people who I actively know, and there are people who I will just kind of, you know, admire from a distance. You know, if you get into some of the pioneers in data science, you know, Hans Rosling was one of the pioneers in looking at global public health. And that was kind of when I was just in statistics, not looking at data science. And I loved watching his videos and his kind of wit perspective of showing data. And then I started really getting into the ethics of data science, artificial intelligence, machine learning. So I've watched Joy Boulamwini, and I've read a lot of about Timnit Gebru. I love Kathy O'Neill's Weapons of Math Destruction. She has another book out now. Meredith Broussard wrote a book called Artificial Unintelligence, How Computers Misunderstand the World. I love that. So these are a lot of the people out there who are doing great things to help us forward our understanding of how we should use and not misuse data science and artificial intelligence. On a more personal level, Nick Horton is active in both American Statistical Association, and he's done a lot for Amatic. He's helped me because he connected me through Academic Data Science Alliance, and he's incredibly active in trying to promote data science at the 2-year level. So there's just so many people out there who are both maybe doing big things, and I admire them greatly. And then there are people in our communities who are also doing big things, but they're much more accessible to us to get help. I would like to mention one other person who I greatly admire, Talitha Washington out of Clark University. She works at the Data Science Consortium, and she's incredibly active. There are a lot of people who I admire and I look up to for what they're doing.
What's something about you that most people familiar with you or your work wouldn't know?
My undergraduate, I started as an art major and a dance minor.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then sophomore year, I realized that art was not something I ever wanted to make a living off of. I enjoy it. But I went into the math department and said, sign me up. I never looked back, but I think I take with me, I teach a data visualization and communication class. And so I think a lot of the visualization, I really gravitate towards, you know, making things pop out by telling the stories through, you know, putting data into some sort of visual aspect.
Hey, if our viewers or listeners want to connect more with either you or the data science ANET, where is a good place for them to connect with you online?
Well, they should definitely look at the AMATIC data science. It's called the Statistics and Data Science Subcommittee, which we are maybe one day trying to think of making our own committee, but I love working with the Statistics ANET. They're wonderful as well. We are intertwined and separate in many wonderful ways. But so you can look me up there, but also if you just look up data science at Montgomery College, you will find me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this week, and we look forward to you guys posting on during the month. And thanks again for all you do for AMATIC. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, Evan. It's been really nice talking to you.
So that wraps up this month's interview. Please join us again next month. Until then, continue to have an impact every day.